Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You're listening to the Dana and Parks podcast on KMBZ.
Out there,
that Def Leppard poured some sugar on me.
Like they needed to be reminded.
I don't even know what this song's about.
I love this song.
Yeah, you do.
Of course you do. I made it for the women. I hate this song.
Do you really?
I hate it.
What is wrong with you? That's un-American.
It is awful. Awful. Turn it off. Worst song Def Leppard ever did.
Wow.
That is a bold statement, Mr. Parks.
I know, considering some of their most recent records. It's terrible.
Wow.
They did it for the chicks. Remember that guy who lives here in town who's the brother-in-law of Joe Elliott?
Yes. Was in his wedding.
Remember, he was supposed to get Joe Elliott on the show for us?
Yes.
So I could tell Joe Elliott that is the worst song they ever did? And I'm a fan. I like Def Leppard. That song is terrible.
He's laughing all the way to the bank with that statement.
Really?
I mean, I'm just saying.
Really? From the text line, Scott, I love this song. From the text line, thank you, Dana, for the Def Leppard.
You're welcome.
Okay.
I like to contribute where I can.
Hey, I was scrambling before the show. I was trying to find you. Parks, you were out and about.
I was in what they call a meeting with the boss.
A little meeting.
Ooh.
A little meeting with the boss.
So this ticks me off, and you tell me that you disagree, but I don't think that you will. Today, a woman was sentenced in federal court, and that's important because usually in federal court, they bring the hammer down. Mm-hmm. Woman today in Kansas City was sentenced in federal court for a wire fraud scheme in which she filed dozens of fake tax returns that resulted in more than $238,000. She's 45 years old, sentenced by U.S. District Court Judge Brian Wimes. Mm-hmm. Guess how much time she got for this crime? Someone entrusted with everyone's personal information, because she was a tax preparer. Mm-hmm. She then stole that information and benefited to the tune of $250,000. It's not going to be 20 years, but give me your best guess.
Because you're asking, and if you were asking me what would a federal judge give someone,
yes,
without saying their gender, I would say 5 to 10 years in prison.
I agree.
But because you pointed out that this was a woman, and I think the justice system treats women far better than they treat men.
I agree.
I'm going to say she got 4 months.
1 year and 1 day in federal prison.
Mm-hmm.
She's also been ordered to pay the money back, which you know as well as I do will never happen.
Right.
Her name is Andrea Knox Lewis. 1 year and 1 day. She was a self-employed tax preparer.
For the hyphenated last name, she ought to get another year.
Self-employed tax preparer admitted that she filed income tax returns for the tax years. She did it for 3 years, claiming these false refunds. How it took them so long, you know, we always hear about the red flags. How is she not a flaming red flag?
Speaking of taxes, because the other day was April 15th, have you ever been audited?
No.
I have not either.
I think you have to have, I don't want to say more assets or resources than you and I have. But the people that I know who have been audited own separate businesses, have much more complicated returns, which sometimes prompt the red flag, which means you get the audit.
I mean, I buy the, like, H&R Block offers this, insurance policy. Yep, it's like $35, you know. And if you get audited, they'll show up in court. They'll help defend you. They'll send some of their tax experts to testify on your behalf, et cetera, et cetera. I pay it every year. But I must confess, I've never once been afraid of being audited.
I don't think generally they look to people like you and me. It's people with multiple businesses and
but surely
complicated, tons of itemizations, deductions, that kind of thing.
Yeah, I don't have a lot
We
of
don't
that.
Have any of that. We just don't.
I mean,
how does someone like this bonehead get away with what she did? She filed it all online. Is no one looking to see, my gosh, this is so weird. One woman filed of this stuff all of this money, and she loaded it onto prepaid debit cards.
I'll tell you why, because I don't think when it comes to filing your taxes, for the most part, and I'm just assuming here, you know what assuming does, I think the government just kind of takes you at your word. Like, for example, I've actually been kind of surprised. I have not received my refund check yet.
Okay.
And it's been 2 weeks. Normally, I get that check within a week. No problem.
Maybe they're taking a closer look.
Well, that's what I'm afraid of.
Knox Lewis, this is worth noting, has an extensive history of fraudulent activity, including forgery and identity theft. So follow me here.
Okay.
She was a self-employed tax preparer with an extensive history of fraudulent activity, including forgery and identity theft.
That we now know
of. If you're a tax preparer, you have an ID. I'm going to hang a shingle, and I'm going to be a tax preparer. Dumb question here. Do you not have to be an accountant to be a tax preparer?
I don't think so.
Anyone can be a tax preparer?
Do you know people that file their own taxes?
Well, yeah, but if they're going to give you a tax preparer identification number, because you are now going to be responsible for every other person's taxes, they don't check see if you have an extensive history of forgery and identity theft?
Well, I don't know if they do that or not. And people can correct me if I'm wrong, I don't think you have to be a CPA.
I don't think you have to be a CPA.
So then what are you asking?
Well, I'm guessing, here's what I'm saying. The bar is way lower than I thought it was to be a tax preparer. If this bonehead could be a licensed tax preparer.
I think anyone can prepare taxes.
For other people? You can prepare your own at your own risk.
I don't think you have to have a license to be a tax preparer.
Okay. Don't you kind of think you should?
No.
Because you know if someone like this does your taxes and it's wrong, that comes back on you.
That is correct.
It does not come back on her. It comes back on you.
Dana, you're absolutely right, but that is the risk you assume.
But again, going back to public interest, there's no system that would have red flagged her as a preparer to then tell people, hey, by the way, you're welcome to hire her. She has 12 bad check charges out of Raytown.
What are you saying? We need to have a bad tax preparer registry?
I'm saying if there is a license to prepare for others, it is stunning to me she got one.
I don't think there is a license.
Okay.
You have to be a cop to make an arrest. I don't think you have to be a CPA to do a tax form. You have to be a lawyer to try a case in court. Now, of course, you can defend yourself. You have to be a judge to adjudicate a case. I don't think you have to be a CPA to do a tax form.
That's not what I'm saying. Is there no license to have to do that?
That's my point.
And that this case alone says to me, there's not.
There is not. That I'm aware of. Should there be?
I mean, because the penalty comes back on the customer if it is done incorrectly.
That's on you. That's why I buy the insurance.
But you know how complicated the tax code is. That's why you go hire someone else to take care of it. I don't know.
You know, there was a time you had to be licensed to go on the radio.
Name another profession where you hire something out because it is way too complicated to do, that if they screw it up, it's on you.
Mowing my grass.
What do you mean?
I hire somebody to mow my grass.
I'm going to say it again. Name another profession that is so complicated that if you hire out that work and something goes wrong, legally it comes back on you. Because I think this is uniquely tax preparer. where you could go to prison because you sign your name to that document saying, yeah, this is, I mean, she says that I'm getting a refund. Okay.
All right. Some people would think parenting is very difficult. People hire au pairs.
And that if that au pair harms a child, you don't go to prison for
it. No. I see your point.
Name me something else that you farm out because it is so complicated that when that person you farm it out to screws it up, you are on the hook for it.
Property management.
Okay, that's a good one. If you hire a property manager screws that up, the roof is leaking, they're skimming from rent, they're stealing from tenants, that would come back on you.
Renter bails.
A renter bails.
Renter trashes the house. Renter is smoking meth and sets the house on fire. That's on you.
Well, but you're not going to be charged with meth. Your possession. You're just going to be.
But where you that's not what you asked. You asked where you're on the hook.
Where you farm it out and you're on the hook.
Right.
Which is why property manager is a good one.
Property management.
Okay. There's one.
5-7. I can think of more.
Oh, no, you can't.
Hang tight.
You're so proud of yourself sitting there.
Yeah, I am a little bit.
I know. Pick me. It's property manager.
You're mad because I found one. She is. She's mad because I found one.
I didn't think you'd be able to.
Forget it. She's rolling.
576-7798. Alice in Chains. Here on Dana and Parks. I do love this song.
I do too. A little weird.
Okay. All right. I think there's a bad word coming up. We're done.
It's all good.
Rarely do I disagree with one Dave Helling from the Kansas City Star. Today I do.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
You would be wrong. I know what you're about to say, and I'm telling you you're wrong.
Dave Helling writes, and I quote, Dave Helling, yeah. I'm not very good at predictions, but I feel safe making this one. After Kansas City's June election, the new city council will have no Latino or Latina members. That's because no candidates left in the field claim a Latino heritage. A one-time quirk? No. Community leaders say disgraced former councilman Michael Hernandez was the last Latino to serve at 12th and Oak back in the 1990s. Remember Michael Hernandez? Walked out in shame. Believe in handcuffs. This seems surprising and wrong. More than 10% of Kansas City's residents claim Hispanic backgrounds, yet no Latino has served or will serve in elective city government in almost a generation. Now imagine the reaction if African-American candidates had been shut out over a similar time frame, or women candidates. Kansas City would be scandalized and probably in court. The lack of Hispanic representation, on the other hand, goes nearly unnoticed. Now, on that, I would agree. It really, truly is amazing to me. I've always found it fascinating, and this isn't political, but it is in a way, because we don't talk politics, individual politics, but we do talk politics in general on the show sometimes. I've always found it fascinating when people say, well, so-and-so, fill in the blank, has to get the African-American vote, mm-hmm. or they're in trouble. Nobody ever says anything about the Hispanic vote. Or if they do, it's rare. It does come up from time to time. Hispanics are the largest minority in America. Blacks are not. They just aren't. Blacks make up roughly 12% of the American population. Hispanics make up 20% of the American population. However, I take issue, as I read his op-ed today, And Dave is, let me preface this by saying, number one, Dave's a friend. Number two, Dave is the smartest man he's the smartest man I've ever met. But I do take issue with a couple of things that he writes in here. He says, imagine the reaction if African-American candidates had been shut out. Nobody's shutting them out. They're not forbidden to run. You can be Hispanic and run. Maybe the Hispanics who have run for elective office in Kansas City, Missouri, just haven't been that good. Clearly, Kansas City is not immune to electing a black or a Hispanic.
Or a woman.
Sly James is the current mayor, and last time I checked, I remember talking to him last year at the Wiffle Ball tournament, I think Sly James is black. Huh. Weird. Prior to that, it was Funkhauser, one term. Prior to that, it was Barnes, a woman. Prior to that, it was Cleaver, another black man.
This isn't the star saying this election cycle there is no Hispanic candidate.
Yes, it is.
This is the star saying this is an overall problem.
Mm-hmm. That's what they're saying. How many Hispanics have run? You can't elect people that don't run. Like, for example, I would love to be...
We just talked about this with women yesterday.
Mm-hmm. I would love to be a city council member in Roland Park. I can't run. Boss downstairs has told me if you run and win, you will be fired. Mm-hmm. So I don't run for elective office. I would love to sit on the Roland Park City Council.
Weirdo.
That's a dream of mine. I want to be a city council member, but I can't. Maybe Latinos are just not running, or at least not in the numbers that they can win.
Well, but this last national election cycle, we saw an explosion of women, Hispanics,
blacks,
black people, gay people running and winning their seats. So it's not curious to you that in the midst of that national sea change, and it's a slow baby steps, we need to come much farther than we have. It's not surprising to you that we're not seeing that mirrored here?
Here's what I think. I'm not convinced that the reason that we saw this huge surge in women, minorities, et cetera, winning on the national stage, okay, is because people voted for them because they were a woman, or because they were black, or because they were Hispanic, or because they were gay. It was either a revolution against the current system, a peaceful, of course, voting revolution, or they just liked their ideas. They were charismatic characters who espoused their ideas well.
If they were saying this is just happening now, I would understand your point. There has not been a Latino serving since the 90s.
Mm-hmm. And whose fault is that?
I don't know.
Now,
but it's curious.
And Dave Helling also went on to say something here that I disagree with. And Dave, by the way, I know you listen to the show. You're welcome to call in and argue your point. I would have no problem with this. He says, imagine the reaction if African-American candidates had been shut out over a similar time frame, or women. Okay? Now, I already have disagreed with that and have made my point, whether you agree with it or not, fine. Kansas City would be scandalized and probably in court. In court?
If we had never had a black representative or female representative in city government, yes, there's
a
problem.
You're going to challenge legal elections in court? Based on someone's race or gender?
But if you go on and read this story, Scott, and this gets into
the
weeds.
I did. I read it twice.
But this gets into the weeds politically of one explanation of this is the way the council districts were drawn after the last census. And so you might be thinking, you know, what does the census have to do with it? It really does. And the article goes on to explain that two of the city's six council districts were created to provide as much opportunity for African-American candidates as possible, but an attempt
which,
to
by the
draw...
Way, which, by the way, should be challenged in court.
No. Yeah, why? Why? If the lines were drawn historically to favor a white candidate, why would they not redistrict the lines balance that scale?
Dana, if the lines of a district were drawn to benefit candidate X, who happens to be white, or any candidate X who happens to be white, that should be challenged in court every day of the week and twice on a Sunday. And if you draw districts to enable a black candidate or an Hispanic candidate to get on
but
a city...
But who gets to decide how the districts are drawn? Because that does have an absolute impact.
But you just said reading something. I think it's the same article that I have in front of me, that districts were drawn. Two of the six districts were drawn to enable.
No,
to provide
as much opportunity for African-American candidates as possible. Then it goes on to say, an attempt to draw a district that would likely put a Hispanic candidate on the city council fell short. That means Latino candidates have largely had to compete citywide, a difficult challenge for any minority group in Kansas City.
Hispanic is not a race, first and foremost. Secondly, drawing districts to provide a stronger chance that a certain segment of the population gets elected is unconstitutional, and I would argue illegal, and I still stand by my argument that Hispanic is not a race.
To try and balance the scale over years of white male rule, you don't think they should look at the way those districts are drawn?
Here's how I think it should be. Who the voters want, the voters get. If the voters want an all-woman city council, so be it. If the city council was all black, so be it. I don't care. I want who the voters want. Now, I may like a certain candidate over this candidate, but who the voters decide in their own city is up to them.
But I think those boundaries have a ton to do with it, Scott.
You're tilting the scales.
Well, the scales were already tilted. They're trying to balance the scales. That's how I look at it.
Okay. Dave in Smithville. Dave, hello.
Yeah, I'm siding with you 100% on this, Scott. I mean, Dana, you're not entitled to have a council seat just because of the color of your skin or your religion or your background. You're not even entitled to be able to run, in fact. You have to qualify, number one, to be a resident of a district that you're running in, number one. Number two, you also have to be qualified to be a registered voter, so that's another qualification that you have to have. And number three, I think that's the only qualification other than in Missouri, you can't be a convicted felon and be a candidate on any ballot in the state of Missouri, whether that be school board or city council or whatever office you're running for. And there's no entitlement to this at all. And if they're not a Hispanic person, whether it be a woman or a man or any other obscure gender identifier has decided not to run, they're not entitled to anything. And so I'm with Scott 100% on this. And as much as it tugs our heartstrings to think that, oh my goodness, they've been underrepresented since the 90s, well, I'm with Scott. Whose fault is that? Could it be that there's been no Hispanic candidates run? And if there has, how come they haven't had an articulate enough message to be able to win those elections?
Right.
You know, the Star did a survey, actually, and we can talk about this coming back, asking several professionals around town, do you think the current system needs to be changed with respect to the districts and how they are drawn?
Okay.
Some people said yes, including former Mayor Kay Barnes. Some people said no. The people who said yes said, I have observed how drawing new districts has resulted in voter suppression for poor families and people of color. And I would love Dave to call in and weigh in on this, because I do think the way it is decided, the way that those districts are drawn, can, I don't want to say sway, but can have an impact on the outcome of an election.
Okay. From the text line, thank you, Dana. His dumb blank doesn't get it. Latinos simply are not choosing, or not chosen, I think is the word they meant to use there, because of the way the districts are drawn. Scott, I've got news for you about how representative democracy works. Here's one. Those two were for you, obviously. Here's one for me. Dana, are you saying in these districts, these two districts, they have black privilege?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm saying someone made the decision to redraw those districts to provide a better opportunity for the people that that candidate would be serving, for the people who choose to run.
Okay. Scott, you're a Scott, you're a blanking dumb blank. How do you think these districts are drawn? Well, I don't know why you're in all caps and yelling at me. Scott, according to the EEOC, Hispanic is a race. That is incorrect. That is not correct. Hispanic is technically Caucasian. 576-7798. now about that Mueller report. 576-7798. We're going to break it down in the last 7 minutes of the program.
No, really, we're not.
No, we're not. I couldn't care less. Honest to God.
I mean, if you're going to talk about it at any point in your show, you might as well do it in the last segment, right?
Nope. Yeah, I got to do it.
Mueller report, 576-7798.
I've been in such a good mood all day.
That's the real sledgehammer today.
You know why?
The problem is because we haven't talked about it.
Then we haven't talked about the Mueller report. And guess what? We're not going to talk about the Mueller report.
That is a sledgehammer, isn't it?
It is that a Mueller sledgehammer. Let's go to Gary in Mission. Hello, Gary.
Hello. Good afternoon. You guys crack me up.
Your take on the Mueller report. Go ahead.
You're right. Dave Helley's one of the smartest people around. I know because I, 50-something years ago, I grew up with him in grade school and junior high school. So, but I think two issues. One, and I lived in Kansas City, Missouri for a while, but there in the metro, there are a lot of Hispanics married to one of them, but the majority of them live in the outskirts, not in the Kansas City, Missouri proper. Independence, Grandview, Belton, Johnson County, Wyandotte County, there are very few left in the west side, and there are a number of them in number of Hispanics in the old Northeast, but majority are not citizens, I think. And I know this because 90% of my clientele are Hispanic. So that's just my take on it. I expect it's just no one has chosen to run. I remember when Hernandez was booted out of town, so to speak. But in fact, I was involved in the term limit legislation that prohibited him from running again. But I don't think that this is gerrymandering or any sort of suppression.
That's kind of the point I was trying to make. I just looked it up. Hispanics make up 10% of Kansas City proper.
Okay.
Kansas City proper's population, 10%. African Americans make up 30% of the Kansas City proper population. So you could certainly see a scenario where a district would be drawn, even if not intentionally, that would almost help, if you will, a black candidate to get elected. How would you draw, unless you were to literally draw the boundaries around primarily his, because let's be honest with each other. We are still to this day, not legally, not required by law, a segregated society. We just are.
Yeah.
Blacks tend to live around other black people. White people tend to live around other white people. Hispanics tend to congregate around other Hispanics. Okay?
And you wouldn't want a district drawn around Argentine?
Boy, that would... Well, first of all, Argentine's in KCK.
I'm just saying, that's my example.
Are you saying we should draw a boundary for a city council district around Southwest Boulevard? To try... For what purpose? To try to get a Hispanic on the city council? How unbelievably un-American is that? I mean, that flies in the face of everything that we all agree upon. What if there aren't enough women on the city council based on what Dave Helling writes or what other people believe? Do we go find areas where single women live and draw the boundaries around them so that we can get more women onto a city council seat? I understand the want, not the need, the want for a more inclusive, more diverse city council. What I struggle with is forcing it upon the people. If you want a Hispanic on the city council, find one who is charismatic, who can generate cash, who can speak about policies that he or she believes in that will get people to vote for them. Don't draw districts and say, well, we're going to make this district literally run three blocks on each side of Southwest Boulevard just because we want a Hispanic on the city council. Nothing says more un-American to me than that. With that, we have to run. Have a great night.
Sorry.
Hey, Dana. I made a fart noise with my mouth. We got to run. On behalf of our producer today, Jason Katz. Good to have you with us, my friend. My good friend and co-host, Dana Wright. I am Scott Parks. And God willing, we're back tomorrow at 2 o'clock. Have a great night. Be safe. Be good.
Thanks for listening to the Dana and Parks podcast. Remember, you can catch us online anytime at KMBZ.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.